Well, thank you everyone for sticking around to the last talk. I'll try to keep things relatively short, and we can all get on our way to whatever was coming after this. I'm going to talk about the Unitary Compiler Collection, which is a technically yet to be released project. So this is a bit of a sneak preview. The GitHub is public, but we haven't officially kind of put it out there. So this is kind of the first getting a first preview. So this is the team that's been working on it. This is our fun logo. There's a sticker over here for it if you want to take one. Jordan has been leading this project. So unfortunately, they cannot be here, but this is props to the team. So let's go over what's in the name. So Unitary Compiler Collection. So unitary because unitary matrices and unitary operators are the things that underlie quantum mechanics, the things that we operate on in quantum computation. And then compiler. Compilers are things that translate code from usually a higher level of abstraction to a lower level of abstraction. And just a note here on terminology, in quantum, the word transpiler is often used, or maybe a gate optimizer or something. And usually these things are used when the level of abstraction is roughly equivalent. So if you're taking a circuit and optimizing it, and we'll go over an example of that. And then a collection. A group of things. The idea here is that we don't want to necessarily be the only ones developing things like transpiler passes, because there's only so much that a limited group of people can do, and also every application of quantum computation may need a different particular compiler pass to make the problem more efficient. And obviously, what's in the name is reminiscent of GCC, the GNU Compiler Collection. And taking a lot of inspiration from the classical compiler infrastructure that's been built over the past 50 years, and there's already a lot of things happening in that area, but obviously want to take away a lot of lessons from things learned in that development. So first, let's just talk about what is a quantum compiler, or maybe in this instance, this is going to be something. We're going to do a transpilation and then a compilation as well. So we've seen a bunch of quantum circuits already in today's talks, and so we're going to think about what are some operations that we can do on a circuit that looks like this to reduce the gate count, reduce the depth of the circuit, and ultimately when we run on a quantum computer, we want our circuits to be at as short as possible, because they'll run faster, they'll be less opportunities for errors to occur, and so we get more accurate results. And errors are generally something that happen a lot more on quantum computers than they do on classical computers. When we do classical compilers, we just want to make things fast. And error correction is a thing, but a lot lower rate of errors on a classical computer than a quantum computer. All right, so let's zoom in to these two gates. Let's just say, for sake of example, that they're two RZ gates, and they're very similar type of gate, but they have a different angle that's parametrizing them. We can take that, we can compile that into a single gate where the argument or the angle that you're rotating your qubit by is the sum of those two angles that you were doing previously. Okay, that's a very simple one. That's like a peephole optimization. But these are things that you can take into account, and you can, you'd rather do that rotation in one operation rather than do a rotation and then take the next step and then do another rotation. Okay, so now we've compiled, we've made our circuit just a little bit shorter. Now let's look over here at these three operations. Let's say in this example that we have a C naught, and then we have two Z gates. So the C naught operation is the controlled naught. And a little bit of mathematics, you just massage the matrices a little bit, will show you that you can actually just do one Z on the target qubit before the C naught, and that's equivalent to doing two Zs. Basically, the Z propagates through the C naught in such a way where, instead of doing two Zs, you can do one gate reduction. Wonderful. Okay, so we've done that. Those are just, again, some examples of maybe what people would call peephole optimizations. They're just nice little tricks, basically. And now let's say you're ready to take this circuit and you want to go run it on a quantum, on some QPU, on some quantum hardware. Most quantum hardware does not have a 3-qubit gate. And so whatever classical software that you use to generate this circuit, you know, maybe doesn't know that, and maybe you probably don't want it to know what the hardware actually looks like. You want it to generate something, and then you compile. So then, let's say, for example, a common 3-qubit gate is the controlled not gate, and you want to say, okay, the computer can't do that, so I need to decompose it into operations that the computer can do. Okay, and there is a nice decomposition of the controlled not, or the Toffoli gate, into single qubit gates and 2-qubit gates, but it's really, really big. So it introduces a whole lot of new gates and new operations into your circuit. Okay, so now we're getting this idea that, like, we did this decomposition, and now you might want to redo some of the optimizations that you've had previously, because maybe this Hadamard gate actually can join in this operation, or maybe there is a gate here that it cancels with, and you want to do some analysis after you do decomposition. But let's say you go about doing that. You do another compilation pass. And there's one other thing, which is, let's say you're running on a machine with limited connectivity in the qubits. So right now we're introducing an operation that touches qubit 1 and qubit 3. But what if those two qubits on the device are not actually connected in such a way where you can do a 2-qubit operation between them? Then you need to introduce swaps, or you need to rearrange the qubits so that the ones that you're acting on are, they actually have some physical coupling on the quantum computer. So now there's no operations between qubit 1 and qubit 3. Everything is just between 1 and 2 and 2 and 3. So we've sat